Now for today's minute, I want to start a new series. It'll take probably at least 2 days. We'll do some today, some tomorrow. The minog of the tsura of the Beis HaKnesses. A Beis HaKnesses has a lot of parts. There is an amud, there is a bima, there is a ner tamid, there is a menorah some places, there is the rabbi's seat. It's also part of the minhag of the shul. Where does the rabbi sit in the shul? Very interesting sugi. Where does the rabbi sit? A clock. Is a clock part of the tzura Beis HaKnesses? Does the shul have to have a clock? So let's discuss some of these, and Yonim will do it over 2 days. The first thing we want to discuss is the amud. Where does the shatz, the shliach tzibur, where does he stand in davening? I never knew this. This is what I read. I'm now quoting a new sefer for the minhagim called Gnohok Sheba Olam. I can't even figure out who the author is. It seems like it's published by an organization. I'll try to get you more information in the future about the sefer. I'll bring it in the neder. I'll show you the sefer and try to figure out who the author is. But in the sefer Gnohok Sheba Olam, it records that maybe you know better. I'm not familiar with the Sardim, that by many in the Sardish communities, the shatz davenes from the bima. Is that anyone familiar with this? It's more customary, it's more common in a Sfaradish shul to find the shliach tzibur to daven from the bima, not from the amud all the way in the front. Why is that so? I'm not sure. But by Ashkenazim, there's a hakpada, a very strong hakpada, that the shliach tzibur should daven from the front, all the way in the front. Now, where does that come from? It comes from the Gemara, it comes from Chazal. Chazal always say, Mimamakim kirasicha Hashem, from the depths. Mimamakim. Now, what is Mimamakim? So it appears that in ancient times, the Batek and the Sirius were built like theaters. You ever go to a movie theater? Chasol. A theater is built on a slope, on an angle. So the says the Chazal, Yoyreid lefnei hateve. The shots would go down. So what does it mean is going down? It means since they were built on a slope so that I guess you can see what's going on. People, if you have a very large Beis HaKnesses, if you're standing in the back and the land and everything is flat, like in most of almost all of our Batei Knesios, the Midrashos, everything is flat, you can't always get a good picture of what is going on. You can't really see what's happening in the front. But if the Beis HaKnesses is built like a theater where there's a slight slope, then the people in the back can get a better view of what's taking place in the front. So when the shatz gets up to daven, it's called yoyreid, to descend lifnei hateva. That is an indication that the teva is all the way in the front. Okay, it became the custom of certain communities. I saw this in Rai Khan's old shul. He built a special little hole, mimakin. I saw this also in Queens, in what's called Or HaChaim, Rabbi Lander's yeshiva, not Turo, the other one across the street. I think it's called Or HaChaim, if I'm not mistaken. They also have a little thing in the front, beautiful. Pit. Yeah, a little pit. Yeah. In order to be Makayim Mimamakim, it's also simply it appears that it comes from the slope. That's why it's called Mimakim. But it appears that some disagree. They go a little bit further. They hold Mimakim means that you should actually come into a pit. The beam, yeah.
I've also seen it. Rav Heinemann's show in Baltimore.
They also have a little pit where you go down. Mimamakim, it's an expression of when the shatz gets up to daven, there should be a feeling of behavioral therapy. They should have a feeling of mimamakim, that we are humbling ourselves before Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the bima, traditionally, a bima is elevated. Like here, right? Here you have an elevated bima, take a step up. And every shul has an elevated bima, but the bima was elevated. So if you're going on the bima, you're going up gavos lifnei hamakom. Ein gavos, you're not allowed to be a hori before, it's not chashem hori, but you're not allowed to have gaiva lifnei hamakom. So therefore, Ashkenazim are very makbet to have the amud in the very, very front. Okay, that's one makar.
Now, some start.
Oh, that's different, because Kabbalah Shabbos is not part, that's exactly why. Because Kabbalah Shabbos is not part of davening. That's why there's a hakpah, that Kabbalah Shabbos bedavka should not be from the Amr. That's why even a katan can daven Kabbalah Shabbos. Kabbalah Shabbos is not a chelik of the davening, and to show that it's not part of the davening, there is a hakpah that the Kabbalah Shabbos is done from the bima.
But then they move.
Because Myriv, when it comes to Myriv, when it comes to Ma'ariv. So Ma'ariv, it's Amida and it's davening, and you're a Moitzi Ditziva with Kaddish and Baruch Hu and all of these things, and you need an adult, not a katan, and it's part of the davening. So you go to them. But Kabbalah Shabbos, you know, there are places, there are shuls that they don't even have Kabbalah Shabbos. People in certain yeshivas, you daven Kabbalah Shabbos at home. You do say Kabbalah Shabbos at home, and then you come to the Beis HaKnesses for Ma'ariv.
What about this, the Kaddish?
What is no Kaddish? By Mevalikim. So that's like he's going to go to a shir. You go to a shir and you say Kaddish. It's not Ikar Adin. That's not the Ikar Nusach HaTzilah. That's a later innovation. We like to come to shul. We socialize. We come to shul. We talk. So we in modern times we have Kabbalah Shabbos. It's a good. Believe me, it's a good thing. It's a good thing, but al pi halacha, and there are still Ariya Mazed, there are many places where, not many, there are places where people, they daven Kabbalah Shabbos at home, and they come to shul for Ma'ariv. Okay, now where, and this is very interesting, I don't have a clear picture, where the Amud by Ashkenazim put in the very front. Where in the front? Okay. I'm not coming Chas Hashem to say anything. Any criticism or anything. I'm just looking over here. They have it in the middle. Which is, that's really the way you see most places. In yeshivas, you see a lot in the middle. You see in the middle. More and more, a lot of the new shuls. The Hasidic Shtibloch, they have it on the right side. So what's going on? Is it the right side? Do they do it because just there's no room? Maybe the reason why they do it, I don't know. I don't know all these things. Maybe the reason why they do it in the shul because the lot is still very small. And there's just no room. Wait, you can move the bin. How far you move the bin? Put the omelet. You have to maximize space. Is that why it's done there? What's the lumber? So the truth, so the answer is no. It's brought down. And everything, these are minhagim. And everyone has their minhag. There are opinions that it should be on the right side. Why on the right side? Because it's derech chachna. When you come to a king, you don't stand. I mean, today, the standards are very different. But in ancient times, we have to go back to ancient times, we have to study this and research this. In ancient times, when you would come to a king to make a request, you would not have the chutzpah to stand in front of a king. This is what it says. You come to a king to make a request to be free from taxes or to grant someone a freedom from prison, you stand on the side. It's an expression of humility. This is what's brought down. Basavadam, you wouldn't have the chutzpah to come to a powerful king, Basavadam, and stand right in front of their face to make your request. You would stand on the sad hachna. Memeila by Kadosh Baruch Hu, we don't stand in front of the Aron, because that's standing right in front of the Shechina. You machnia yourself, you turn to the side. Yeah.
You say, therefore, al yad hamelach, not lifnei.
Ah, okay, very good. On the other, the side of the, very good. So therefore we go to the side. Now why to the right side? Kol pina shata pina lo yin ali yamin. There's a pasuk by yamin is more choshev yaya by the brachos of Ephraim Menashe. Vayishlach yisholes yamino. Okay, it's not really clear, but it appears that the right side is more choshev when you're facing Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, you want to go to the side. Now, there are customs brought down that some kumfaker, that you the side should be on the north side, which is on the left. So there are yesh v'yesh. There were certain very choshva kihilos in Europe where there was a hapada, different minhagim, right, the left, but it should not be in the center. I did not find anywhere that it should be in the center, mamish. But yet, if you go look today, almost all of the newer shuls. Not the Shtibloch, even like the old ones, when they were before the deconstruction, it was on the right. And when they did construction, renovations, they put it right smack in the center. I don't know why, but that is today among Ashkenazim, not in Shtibloch, they have it on the right. They still have it on the right. But in
not all.
What?
Let's take Rabbi Landau's shul, for example.
Kerry Landau's shul, no, it's on the left.
The left.
Left, very good, the left. Safa. Where was it in the old shul? Before, in the old shul?
I don't remember.
But in the yeshiva,
I think it was on the right. I think I remember.
A lot of times the Rav is sitting on the right.
No, that I'm getting to that. We're coming to that. We're coming to that also. We're coming to where the Rav sits. Yeah, yeah.
But in his yeshiva on 18th Street, it's right in the middle.
Center. Right. Chaim Berlin, it's in the center. It was always in the center. I remember the youngest of my father's shul, so in the old shul was on the left. And now in the new shul, it's right in the center. Upstairs and downstairs.
Which of these shuls, they did it intentionally? Or
they didn't, exactly. There was no intent. I can.
But you're claiming that there's something to it. So
there is something to it.
Intentionally.
I don't know. No, I don't know. I really don't know. All I could say is, if you go look at all the newer shuls, take note of the newer shuls and the new yeshivas, when they design the building from bottom up, for some reason they're always putting it in the middle. They're not putting it on the right or the left. In the you think acoustics, people should be able to hear better. But if there's such an inyan of minhag yisrael kodesh is a holy thing.
Here,
so
here we have in center, and we have a back base medrash.
Yeah.
And Davin's on the right.
On the right, okay, no
chanami.
There's no kavana. Hanachle, exactly, no chanami. Okay. Now, next thing is, what about, where does the Rav sit? Okay, the Rav sit has nothing to do with where the Amud is. People think that if the Amud, I always thought, that you can't, how many shtendas can you have already in one side of the shul, right? It's all part of the furniture. You go to these nice shtiluch and these nice beautiful shoes, they build these fantastic, some of these shoes. I was in that shul that you told me about. I checked it out. It's fantastic what you can do. So if you're going to go have the Amud on the right and the Rav on the right, it doesn't look nice.
But you have elevated, Jewish Center in Manhattan, whatever, where literally they're sitting up with your own kaddishes.
Right, you know, so I say this. So where do you put the rabbi and the president? On the right side, the left side, right? All the nice old shuls. They have a stage, and on the stage they have the rabbi, the president, and the chairman of the board, and the chazen, and the chairman of the board, and the first vice president, and so on and so forth. Where is the appropriate place for the rabbi to sit? Where? So this is very interesting. Is that we have a tradition that when you daven this, that it says a Gemara, haroitze lahachkin yadvin. When you daven, let's assume you're davening perfect mizrach. Let's make believe it. Now we don't really daven. Well, we shouldn't really. If you can make a shul, you're supposed to make the shul daven towards Yerushalayim. In America, the way it's set up, it's not so easy to have the shul's face perfectly Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is not perfectly east. It's a little bit to the north. Wait, am I settled to the south? A little bit to the south. It's southeast. It's a little bit. So therefore, ideally, when you build a Beis HaKnesses, you should turn the shul perfectly to the southeast to face Yerushalayim. We can't do that. You can't do that because that's not the way the shul is set up. That's not the way the architects are. It's not going to work out. So we make the shuls either perfectly east, which is the minhag, because generally in Europe it was more or less. Many of the old shul, it was east, so we have this thing in our minds, Mizrach, but it's not really Mizrach, it's towards Yerushalayim.
In Europe, it's even more to the north, it should
be. It depends where. Okay, it depends, but we have, so we daven Mizrach, we make things simple, we just. But when you're daven, there's a concept of tilting a little bit. Yeah. And again, it's behavioral therapy. When you do something, it's supposed to make a roshim on you. And that is, haroitza lahachkim, if you want to be wise. That's your priority in life, then yadrim. You should face the south. Why should you face the south? Because the menorah is vidorim in the Mishkan, and the menorah is Torah, it's chokhmah. If you want to be wealthy, haroitzeh, lahashir, you want to be wealthy, yatspin, face the north, because the shulchan, which represents Hashirus, was in the north. What does the Rav want to be? Wealthy or wise? Both. But traditionally, the Rav only wants to be. You can't have everything. That's Yisrael. You can't have everything. You have to choose. You have to have priorities. So what does the Rav want? The Rav wants Chochma.
No,
so
he has already Chochma.
No. All right, so Lachachkim Yadrin. So here's the Chiddush. If the Rav, unbelievable, if the Rav is going to sit on the right side, right, he's on the right side. The Rav has to sit in the front. Because the Rav has to influence the tzibur. That's a kid in the back. Yes, in the front. No, that's no ands, if, or buts. He's sitting in the front. So where's the Rav going to sit? He's going to sit on the right. Oh, the right side. The more right near the shots. You got to be able to correct the shots. He makes it the right. We just said the shots is on the right side. Because you don't stand in front of the Aron. It's not nice. You have to be machni. You have to go to the side. It's on the right side. So you want the Rav right next to the shots to make sure he doesn't make any mistakes when he doubts. So the Rav is on the right, that would be the logical place for the Rav to be, near the Shlech Tzibur. But when the Rav davens the Shemoneh Esrei, he wants to tilt Lidorum, to the, he wants to tilt to the south. The south is the right side, right? Mizrach is straight, so the south is to the right side. It's disrespectful because he's turning away from the Aron Kodesh. So therefore, the minig is, this is again, these are minhagim, nothing is etched in stone. Minela, the appropriate place for the Rav is on the left. Because since the Rav will want to be yadrim, to tilt, and we don't want to disrespect the Oroin, so when the Rav is standing on the left, and he turns the shtickel to be zoiche to the school of yadrim, he'll be tilting towards the Aron Kodesh. And that's appropriate, that's correct. And therefore it has become the minuk. The Shatz is on the right, because it's Mimamakim, it's in the front, Mimakim in the right because of Derech Eretz Hachna, and the right is Mochashev, and the Rav is on the left, so he can turn and tilt towards the Aron Kodesh and be Mikayim Yadrim. Now, all this also taking into consideration that the shul is built, and this is unfortunate, the shul is built towards Mizrach, Du Mizrach. But in many shuls, there are many heterim for this, and you see this all over the place, it's not always built Mizrach. You don't have to always build, you can build it Doraim or Tzafon. So then all of these things, where the Rav sits, totally has no man, takes a whole different Yadrim. What does it mean Yadrim? Yadrim means the real Dharam or real stuff. Does that really mean that? But then the rules can be played around with. Okay, next thing.
You know, it's funny. It's yeah. The Rebbes don't face the Kehillah. Most of them, they face that way.
What do they face? They face frontwards. Right. They face both.
Yeah, but
right.
Many other shuls, like in the Jewish Center and others,
they face forwards.
The rabbis, so when he gets up to stand Shemoneh Esrei, he goes tilting.
When everyone stands Shemoneh Esrei, they're facing the front.
For sure. Right.
No matter what. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. So when they're facing the front, they're also going to, when you tilt towards the south, that's when you daven in the Shemoneh Esrei. It's not when you daven in the rest of the davening.
It's not tilting the Rebbe. When you're facing this way, yeah, you're sitting this way, as the Rebbe does. He's not tilting this way.
Not when you're sitting. When you daven, the tilting is when you daven Shemoneh Esrei, not when you're sitting.
No, but he's standing in his makom, facing whatever.
Straight. Way. Face, not everyone, not every Rav, we're not knowing this today. Not everyone is knowing this thing of tilting towards the Lord. They're talking about where it comes from. A lot of the Minhagim today, we mentioned many times, the Minhagim today are not observed. They are observed, they're not observed. A lot of things that are done today have roots in things which are sacred, which today we don't do 100%.
Is there a meaning why they face the Rebbe's most unfaced that way? They don't face the kill?
It's a matter of personal preference. It's not. I don't think it's a matter of. There are some rabbanim that bedafka they face the olam and that because they want to have control, they shouldn't talk. Others, they're not interested. They want to daven themselves. They don't want to look at the people. It's personal preference. It doesn't. But this we're just trying to describe why is it traditionally many go to many chassidish shtivach. It's like a standard. It's standard. You come in, there's an Aron in the center, they have the bima, they have the Amud on the Aron is in the center, the Amud is on the right, and the Rav is on the left. And it's become like, that's the template. If you go to a contractor, that's what he's going to do. That's why? So it's rooted in this idea. Okay. Is it a gap? Does it have to be like that? No. It doesn't have to be like that. Do people do different? Definitely. But this is something which at least we have a mahalach of what used to be. Yeah.
You mentioned the fact that it's not Derech Eretz to turn away from the Aron Kodesh.
Yes.
I attended davening at Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, out of Yerushalayim, and though the Aron Kodesh is towards Mizrach, it seems that it's not exactly...
So everyone turns.
So everybody turns away
at an angle
from the Aron Kodesh.
There are different... Every shul has their own minhagim.
It looked very strange.
Right. Every shul has their own minhagim. Yeah, every shul. And one thing Mishnah Berurah says, if you go to a place, some people, let's say you have a shul with Aron is Tzafai, or the Aron is Dara, and your minhag is always to face Yerushalayim. But everyone in the shul is facing the Aron. So the Mishnah Berurah says, don't dare face Mizrach. You do what everyone in the shul does. Al tifer shem tzibur, don't make it look like you're davening to different rishuyos. That's not the right thing. Every shul is if they say that in the Yeshiva University in the old Beis Medrash, I don't know what is it now, that the Aron did not face. I remember the old Beis Medrash in YU. The Aron did not face Mizrach. It faced Dorum. That's not Tzafon. The old Beis Medrash, Dorum. So they said they have Moshe Salovei. So there it appears the minhag was the Rashivas, they did turn a lot. Okay, not like at some of the local shuls where no one pays attention, just face the Aron. They did turn a lot. But they said, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, this is what it says in the books, I don't know, he was very makbid on this. And he was very upset with this. That the Aron was tzofen, and he had to, and whatever. So he had different there are different gedolim with different opinions on how far you go in these matters. Okay, these are just general ideas. Okay, we're out of time. Just tell you one more thing. Clock. We'll leave the beer for tomorrow. We're out of time. But the clock. What about the clock? So the truth is, today, it's that shul you told me about. The shul you told me about has three clocks. Three nice clocks. Wow. Each one of those clocks cost a pretty penny. Three clocks. But today it's unheard of for a shul not to have a clock. It's almost sick. But you should know that there are a lot of stories in ancient times. It was a hakpada not to have a clock. You don't. Davin, you know, he has a rabbi, Emanuel Feldman, he has a one of his, the book, and the book, it's short stories about shuls, and he named the book after the story, The Shul Without the Clock. That was one of his articles. And in ancient times, you're not, every day, Shemona Esrei takes a different amount of time. Some days you go very quick, some days you have more needs, some days you feel better. If your davening is on the clock, it's not a davening. This is a very modern innovation where it's unheard of. A shul does not have a clock. It used to be there was a hakpada not to have a clock. Because davening is something which you can't put on a clock. You can't measure. You start on time. You're supposed to start on time. Well, even like mincha, yishtar mincha, you know, you always change in the zman. You have to know when to go. But when there's a clock, you're saying, I only have this much time for you, Ibn Shalom. No. And that's it.
No, it's for the Rav.
No one to stop. It's not a nice thing to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, your time is up.
No.
You've heard of Rabbi
Olofsky?
Yes, of course.
He was in the Vale of Sikh. He came to the American Shul. The Gabi comes up and says, you can have the oven, but you better finish by 7:15, because 7:15, everybody's got to go out. They're making the 7:15 train.
Okay, that's right. Okay, fine.
They're
all gone. Okay, fine. It's true. You have to be out on time. There's no question. I'm calling this from Shulchan Parnassa. But at Kidei Kach, to have a clock in the shul? Of course, you'll be out of here. You're not going to stick around. There's no question about it. But it's not a nice thing to publicize, Ribbono Shel Olam, we got to be out of here on time.
But you also have things. I could say, I think in
not anymore. The world is different.
7:10 is Rabbi Shmuel.
I know. Of course. Times have changed.
Other minyanim coming in.
Times have changed. We live in a very different world, and this is the way it is. This is the way it has to be. A pashut. But you should be aware that is not the way it was in ancient times. In ancient times, it was unheard of. It was a chutzpah to have a clock in the shul. You're not going to sit in shul the whole day. You'll be out by 7:15. You'll catch the train. But it's not in a Beis HaKnesses. You don't publicly display, Ribbono Shel Olam, I got to get out of here. It's not a nice thing. Again, today, things are different. We it's not perceived. And other rabbits perceived as pumpaket. We start on time. We can't wait. We're yearning for the moment when we'll first begin to start davening. Yeah.
I daven mincha on the clock. I daven mincha for the Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
And I asked the rabbi to put the watch over here because
of course, right?
Big hell. Yeah. 1 minute later, the fast. So then there's Nila to come. So I must have the watch.
It's a matter of perception. Times have changed. Even then, you were on the clock. It's just that people were different. There were certain sensitivities. It's true, of course, but today we're not like this. I just want to point it out that that's something which is new. And when the clock first came into shuls, it came with incredible machlekes.
Oh,
Incredible machlokes. There are stories in Pressburg by Rabbi Chassam Sefer when they first wanted to introduce a clock into shul, and there was world wars broke out over the introduction of having a clock in the Beis HaKnesset. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll pick up this topic tomorrow. Go to the Bima and to other things.